Moncrief on News Talk.
It's still the case that many things are decided with a coin toss. The start of sports events, for instance, sometimes even the result of sports events. Where does this come from, and is there any evidence that it's fair? František Bartos, it was part of a team at the University of Amsterdam that did hundreds of thousands of coin tosses to find out. František, good afternoon.
Hey, good to be on air with you.
There has been research done on this before, as I understand it. So there was already a theory that you were testing.
Yeah, exactly. That's correct. Actually, in 2007, there was a paper by Percy Diaconis and colleagues who looked at the physics of a coin toss. And they looked at it from the physics and from math perspective, and they analyzed how the coin trajectory works. And according to their derivation, they predicted that if people flip coins, then the small wobble they introduce when they flip the coin with their thumb will cause the coin to land on the same side it started with approximately 1% bias. So they set out and did a small experiment on their own with around like 50 coin flips to measure some of the variables. And they saw that this might be the case, but to actually test this in practice, they expected that more than 250,000 coin flips would have been needed. So they just put it out as a theory, and that was it.
All right, okay. And was there a theory, if I'm understanding you correctly, that if you start with one side facing up, 51% of the time you're more likely to come up with that side? Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. So the bias is exactly for the side that you see up when you start flipping. So if you flip the coin starting up heads and you catch it in your palm, then it's around 51% likely to land heads up again. If you start tails up, it's 51% likely to land tails.
Okay. And but to prove this requires 250,000 flips.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they predicted in their original paper. So based on the bias that they expected, around 1%, it's extremely difficult to measure this bias precisely. You know, because if you flip a coin a couple of times, 100 of times, you will end up having 1%, 2%, or 3% bias either side just because of randomness and how the nature of randomness works in reality. So to be able to pinpoint to the degree of the bias with very large precision, you need hundreds of thousands of coin flips.
Yeah, and would these have to be coin flips done by a human hand? Could you have designed a coin flipping machine to test this?
Oh, that's a very good question. So if you do it with a coin flipping machine, the coin flipping machine is going to be absolutely precise. You know, like with the robotic precision, there will be no wobble introduced. So all of this bias comes from wobble in the coin flip. So when you flip it, it does not only rotate like backflips, like a gymnast doing backflips, but it also rotates around the vertical axis, like a spinning top. And this spinning top movement with a little bit of wobble introduces the bias. So if it's machines doing the flips and they are good, there's going to be no wobble at all, no bias. It's only the feature of humans flipping coins and them being enabled to flip the coin precisely without any rotation and any spin. Does it make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. It doesn't matter how hard you flick the coin. Is that a variable there you had to take into account?
Yeah, exactly. For this bias, it doesn't matter how many spins it does in the air on how long it stays up. Basically, just the fact that it spins around, it wobbles a bit, it will always spend a little bit more time up the side you started with.
Okay, so you had to do this manually to test this theory. How many people were on your team flipping coins?
Yeah, so, you know, as you said, you need hundreds of thousands of coin flips to actually test this hypothesis in practice. So the best way how to do this is to have a large group of people helping you. So I had a lot of friends from the university and a couple of students joining on the project. And I think we had 48 people in total flipping coins on this project.
Oh, my word. And for each person flipping a coin, did there have to be another person inspecting their coin flip to you know, take it off as a legitimate coin toss?
That would be one approach to do it. We didn't do that because we are really limited on resources. So everybody was flipping and recording the outcomes themselves. But You know, just to be sure, we also had all the people record their coin flips on camera, and then we inspected their coin flips. So, you know, we randomly sampled a couple of those videos, and we checked whether the recordings and the data they collected matches the videos.
All right, so, okay, yeah, that's a clever way. And you personally, Franciszek, you flipped a lot of coins yourself. How many do you reckon you did?
So I did over 10,000 coin flips myself. So I joined all the data collection efforts, and I was there, and I was flipping with all my friends and colleagues. So,
my word.
Yeah, well, I spent over 25 hours flipping myself, I think.
Is that hard on the hands? Does your thumb get sore after a while?
That's a question that everybody asks. But actually, it's not the thumb that gets sore. It's your shoulders. Because when you are flipping in front of your computer, you need to lean forward to type in the outcome, whether it was heads or tails. And because you're leaning back and front all the time for like hours endlessly, your shoulders start to hurt. So it's not a thumb. It's the rest of your body that starts to giving up.
Ah, how completely unexpected. So in total, how many coin flips did your team do?
So in total, we did 350,757 coin flips.
My word. And so have you proved this theory then, do you feel?
So, you know, as with everything in science, there is never a definitive proof. But, you know, given the amount of the data we collected, I think I'm quite sure that we found that there is a bias in human flipped coins. And it would take much more data for me to be swayed otherwise, you know. I think you can never say it's conclusive, but I think we are as close to conclusive evidence as you can get in science.
Yeah, and so did you find it was that 1% a bias, or did that vary?
Yeah, so on average, across all people, when we average their biases, we are very close to the predicted 1% by the Iconis. But when we looked at the individual people, you know, we found a lot of variation. So there were some people who showed 0.5% bias or 0.25% of bias, so very small bias. But also some people showed like up to 1 or 2 or 2.5%. So we suspect that there is some heterogeneity between people, meaning different people are differently good coin flippers, and the people who are worse at coin flipping have maybe a little bit of less coordination, less practice in coin flipping, might show a bit larger bias. So there's some variance.
Yeah.
Also, maybe one interesting thing with this is we also examined how the bias evolves over time when the people flip the coins. And we found out, interestingly, that the longer you flip, so the people who flip more than, you know, at the beginning, the bias seemed to be higher than at the end of the experiment. So when people started with the first 1,000 coin flips, the bias seemed to be slightly larger than at the end when they were up to 10,000 coin flips, etc.
Oh, and why was that? They got better at it.
Yes, that's our hypothesis. You know, it's very hard to test because we would need to have thousands of people flipping coins. Maybe if your listeners ever want to contribute to an experiment and data collection, you should give me a call. But we suspect that it's indeed a practice effect. The more you flip, the better you are at flipping coins. You know, there's less spin, there's less wobble. And I believe that you can actually practice to become less biased coin flipper by just flipping coins all over again.
Right, to become a less biased. I bet if you're very, very good at flipping coins, and you know you're at home, and there's a who's going to cook dinner, for instance. If you're very good at flipping coins, and you have this information that you've just relayed, can you improve your chances by deciding it with a coin flip? Who's going to make dinner?
Yeah, definitely. But that's going the opposite direction, right? So you can practice, like if you just practice to be better at coin flipping, to have less wobble and less rotation on the horizontal, on the vertical axis, then you become less biased. But you can also abuse it the opposite direction. So on purpose, you can flip coins to have more wobble and more rotation, and then you are much more likely to land on the same side.
Right.
In fact, like magicians use this trick themselves, and they train and practice to always flip the coins to just rotate around the vertical axis and never flip over, to just look like they are spinning, but in fact they are just wobbling around, and they catch them and they manage to always land them on the same side they started.
Oh, so you can do this deliberately. Ah. Is that, does it, when you study things like this, is this telling you something about psychology or physics or what?
So this is kind of on the intersection of physics, mathematics, and statistics. You know, if you look in any textbook about statistics, coin flipping is usually taken as the most common example of a chance of randomness. And that's also why physicists and mathematicians were examining the behavior of coin flips, you know. Like the question, is the coin actually fair, as always supposed in the textbook, is kind of intriguing. So that's why the original research by the Acconis and also some researchers before him looked into this.
Yeah.
And we as psychologists at the psychological methods department, we look at methods, how to analyze data from experiments, etc. And we teach our own statistic classes. And we just became interested. We read the articles by the Acconis and colleagues. And we were curious, like, is this actually true? You know, can you test this hypothesis that he created empirically? Can we collect enough data and see whether it's the case or not?
Do you know anything about the history of coin tossing as to why people started doing it in the first place?
I know a little bit. I think the first recorded of coin flipping goes back to 300 BC, I think.
Oh.
No, sorry, to 400 AD. And it's mentioned by Macrobius. And originally it was called Capita aut Navia, which means heads or ships. Because back in the Roman times, the coins had the head on the emperor on one side, the picture of a ship on the other side. And they actually used it as a game of chance to gamble back then.
Oh, so they were straightforward gambling with it rather than deciding things.
Yeah, I think it was originally as a gambling thing, and maybe now over time it became more of a decision mechanism sometimes.
My word, that's interesting. A lot of people are listeners are texting in wanting to know, what coin did you use?
So we used many different coins because we wanted to rule out any possibility that the effect would be a result of some imperfections on the coins, etc. So we had people bring all different coins that they could find. We had a lot of euro coins. We had some dollars. We had Japanese coins. We had francs. We had, you know, anything you can imagine. We had 48 different currencies by denominations combination. So we had a lot of different coins that we tried.
Okay, so that kind of, I suppose, ruled out whether the coin was heavier or lighter. Would that skew the results?
Exactly. Actually, the physics have like pretty strong theory discussing that the weight of the coin should not matter at all for the coin flips. It should only matter if the coin were to spin on the top, then the weight distribution or the edges would matter. But when it's just flipping in the air, the coin itself should play no role. And that's also what we observed. In fact, we had enough data to also test whether there is any bias for heads or tails per se. So not for the same side bias, but for the heads or tails bias. And we found quite a compelling evidence that there is no bias for either heads or tails in any of the coins that we had.
I don't know if you're familiar with this game, but a few people are getting in contact wondering, has anyone ever done a study into rock, paper, scissors, and whether that's fair or not?
I think there's a couple of studies and a couple of game theory decision studies on that. And there is some strategy that can help you win, like with a greater than chance if you play against humans, because people tend to make some patterns in their decisions. But I don't have the details on me, so you would have to look into that more on your own.
Yeah. František, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was František Bartos there, a postdoctoral researcher in psychological methods at the University of Amsterdam. One text says, we tossed a euro to decide our baby's name. He's called 2 euro. Used a 50-cent coin to decide whether to sit accounting exams or move to Thailand in 2021. I'm a teacher in Thailand now and married a woman I met travelling. Okay, so I'm assuming you're telling us that was a happy ending. We used a euro coin to decide whose family we visit for Christmas. The coin has caused more drama than we expected. I can't flip a coin. So we use rock, paper, scissors in my house, and I'm 45, says the texter. Well, you know, as he was saying there, There has been some work done into that as well. So if we find out about it, we'll tell you whether that's fair or not.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.